Awesome. All right. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is, I think, our third sermon on fasting and praying. Is that correct?
Maybe the fourth one.
Well, how's everybody's fasting going? Let me ask you that.
Excuse me? It's over.
It's going fast now, isn't it? Is there any, raise of hands, is there any like renewed convictions or, you know, like insights you've discovered at all during your fast? Okay, let me, honey, what's one of your insights that you've gotten?
That fasting isn't, it's not just about refraining from food, it's about being changed.
Okay, anybody else? Yes, Corey?
He asked about renewed conviction, and I am having a renewed conviction that fasting is probably something that you do every week, at least one day a week. And the purpose is so that I can hear more from God. You know, not to go for something, but actually I want to be able to really hear His voice.
Richard, did you?
The biggest thing I've learned about fasting is it gives me more, it takes time away from the world and gives me more time with God.
Right. Well, I really enjoyed my fast, and I enjoyed it so much I'm going to continue on fasting at least once a week. And I've discovered that I easily fool myself. You know, I think that times I think I'm a serious Christian. But when I fast, I'm like, I'm not that serious. When I'm praying and fasting and obeying God, I discover that I'm not that serious. So I need to become more serious. Can you show a picture? I mean, everybody's, I think, seen Passion of the Christ. Is that right? And that is Simon of Cyrene. I really like that guy. I really do. Because he reminds me a lot of me. I mean, he's coming in from the countryside. He's just, you know, going in, probably doing a couple of chores, maybe seeing the sights. And he gets stuck in this melee here. He wasn't planning on it. He's just like, hey, I'm just, you know. And he's basically coerced into carrying the cross with Christ, behind Christ. And it's just like, yeah, I don't want to get involved. I don't have anything to do with this. And that's how I felt. That's how I felt many times about fasting. I kind of like, well, I'll kind of just kind of go along to get along. And I don't take it seriously. But more, I actually, you know, study, making this lesson has really helped me become more engaged and what it means to fast. And further I fasted, like Simon carrying the cross of Jesus, more convicted I became. So this fast has been really, really insightful and good for me. And so what I like about Simon as well is that he was a reluctant servant. And if you see the Passion of the Christ, you see that how he, from the beginning of carrying the cross with Christ into the end, he started off as a reluctant bypasser, and he became actually a willing participant and helped Christ carry the cross behind him. So I don't think it just happened by chance he happened to be there. I think it was some intervention there that orchestrated this event for Simon. He was selected. And he was chosen. And just like we all here have been chosen. And it's okay when we start our journey, or whatever venture you start, you know, you get involved in, it's okay to be reluctant, as long as you're doing the will of God. And if we give him our heart, he will help us grow spiritually. Yeah. You know, many times I've learned that, you know, we do things, great things in life because we need to, not necessarily because we want to. So God will honor the reluctant and even the person who might be coerced if we do God's will.
Amen.
But no matter how we start our journey, we should finish closer to Him. And it's that that intimacy through fasting and praying that will lead us to greater insight and revelations and directions of what, you know, what we should take in life. So there's three points in this lesson that I would like to make concerning fasting, so we don't have a pointless useless fast. We don't want to go on a hunger strike, right? So point number one, are we moving towards repentance during our fast?
Come on.
Away from bad behavior. Let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah chapter 58. And while you turn, I'll pray for the lesson. Father God, bless this time that we have together. I'm so grateful just being able to come up here and give a lesson, Father. And I pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
So in chapter 58, book of Isaiah, God tells us what type of fast he wants us to do. Now, it's important to fast, or we're like the right fast. Otherwise, again, we're just kind of like going along to get along. We're going on a hunger strike. You know, following instructions, you know, can be hard for me because I am that type of person that wants to write his own instructions. Can you relate?
Yep.
But, you know, most times when I'm in control, I end up prolonging my agony. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting to get something, some benefit from our fast. God does not only tell us what he wants us to, he wants us to benefit but from our fast, but he wants us to maximize the benefit and do as he has instructed. So let's go ahead and start with verse 1 of chapter 58 in the book of Isaiah. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fast, they say, and you have not seen it, and you have not noticed? So they're saying, you know, we have afflicted our souls, and you have not taken notice. And this is God's answer. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You know, like basically you seek pleasure and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fist. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high.
Yeah.
Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? It is only the bowing one's head like a reed, and for lying in a sackcloth and ashes. Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? So what he's saying here is fasting all about you?
Ooh.
It's not about the eating or the drinking, putting on a sad face, and thinking that you're being spiritual. You know, our fast can easily become corrupted, focusing on the outward and neglecting what we need to change underneath. You know, my cousin was the mayor of Jerome, Arizona. I don't know if you ever heard of a small town. It's a small mining town on the side of a cliff, and it's really a kind of artsy community. And for 1 year, he became a mayor. And I remember talking to him, and he says, you know, Scott, I really enjoyed my time being Mr. Mayor, because that's what everybody called me by name, Mr. Mayor. And it really stroked his ego. And he says, you know, I can see how people run for higher office, because it felt really good being called Mr. Mayor for a year.
Right.
So all these outer influences corrupted him, and it corrupted his inner character. And he said stepping down was probably the best thing to happen to him because he liked being called Mr. Mayor so much. So in verse 6, we'll continue on. It says, is not this kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cord of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? So God is saying that people are complaining that they are fasting and God is nowhere to be found. God's chosen a fasting. Let me continue on. So the Israelites are oppressing people. Mm-hmm. There are malice in their hearts. There's no forgiveness. They take pleasure in exploiting others, and they're living in sin and immorality. So they're claiming that God is not hearing, but that's not the fast that God wants for us. In verse 6, it says the fast is the fast that God wants. He wants us to let go of wickedness, mm-hmm. and we need to be like desperate to change our behavior. I mean, that's the fast, to show that we are serious, serious Christians, but fasting is only a part of the puzzle for success. We need to change our behavior. So in verse 7 it reads, "Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wandering with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood?" So God is saying that, I mean, you are fasting and there are hungry people out there. You have all these stores of food, and you've done little to feed the poor. I mean, he is not interested in that kind of fast. What he really wants is a fast just unto humanity, a service unto humanity. God does not take interest in us missing a meal. Fasting does really nothing for God. God will remain powerful whether we eat or not.
Yeah.
Whether we fast or not fast, fasting should change us. Amen. That's what I've learned.
Amen.
And not God. You're not going to change yourself by fasting and wearing a sackcloth, and looking gloomy all day. You know, we will change when we start to change things like in our heart. You start forgiving and you start repenting and start turning away from the disobedience in the word that we have clearly, whether we're clearly conscious about. So you're asking yourself, you know, like, how do I change? I mean, I've tried to change. How do I change? Well, you start showing more humanity to the people around you. That's how you change, by our actions. You don't change yourself by not eating. Again, God is the same as yesterday, as today, as forever. So it's not about food. It's about our character and our heart. And when we see, like in verse 6, if you look in verse 6, he says, once you obey his word and fast in the structure that he has given us, he says, now look at verse 8, then the light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. And then in verse 9 it says, you will call, the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. Mm-hmm. So God is not interested, God said that he's interested in the change of your heart first.
Amen.
You know, you stop oppressing, you stop the unforgiveness, you stop living a life that does not glorify him. And once you've changed that, you've gone 180 degrees in your heart, then God will start responding and answering to the fast you're fasting. But you're saying, you know, that's just not my inclination. You know, I'm just really slow to change. Well, I read this book with this actress, and she says that she's basically an introvert, and she doesn't like to go to big gatherings, but she is an actress. She says, I'm going to go ahead and play the part of someone who's an extrovert, and I'm just going to go and have a good time and see what happens. And about halfway through, she's in character, actually, through her character, she starts enjoying herself.
Amen.
So much of our good actions will need to be intentional. And after a while, you start to develop habits of Christ.
Amen.
Through fasting and prayer, and eventually a willing heart, God will make your path to change very clear for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the fasting, the first step in fasting is to make sure your heart is right with God. And we do that through prayer. It's not how long you've been able to go without food. Again, the question is your heart right? Mm-hmm. Are you in the right standing with God's instructions and the scripture? So step point number two is it's a follow-up, which is very important. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, "And the God of all grace who called you to
to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. So we need to take advantage of the momentum that we have created by scheduling your next fast, time, and prayer. Don't depend on everybody saying, let's get together and start our own fast. You're capable of starting your own fast. Now, I was listening to a sermon, and it was a great sermon. It was an hour long about fasting, and this minister, when he was young, he left the church, he left God. And something in his mind came in and filled that void that he had, saying, fast on Wednesday, and that's what he did. Even though he was not attending, not involved in the fellowship, he started fasting on his own. And that was his breakthrough, fasting. That saved him. He eventually went back to the church. That's the power of fasting. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned on Wednesday, I remember going to the Skyway Hill Church, and all the men were gathering around. And this one guy says, you know, I am just tired of being afraid. I am tired of being afraid. Now, I understood exactly what he was talking about. I didn't know about anybody else around the table. I knew what he was talking about. My guess, a few other people did as well. Now, I think to myself as I listen to him, am I a serious Christian? Do I want to take change seriously concerning my fears? I got fears. Mm-hmm. Or my insecurities. I have insecurities. My sinful habits. I got those too. My lack of self-awareness. I know I have a lack of self-awareness. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The point number three, what is motivating us? Now, point number three kind of bleeds into point number one. Is our purpose to draw closer to God? God doesn't want us kind of like a go-along, to get-along attitude from the beginning. He wants us to grow.
Right.
We should seek revelations of some sort of insight and act on them so we can change and be more like Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called, like we all have been called according to his purpose. God wants us to be excited about being a Christian, because it's through each one of us, everybody here, others will see Christ and be drawn closer to him.
Amen.
You know, a healthy relationship should not be a drudgery.
No.
But it does take effort to be excited about fasting and praying, mm-hmm. and ultimately changing and building an intimate relationship with him. Mm-hmm. But the simple act of just writing down on your calendar will do just wonders.
Amen.
You know, at minimum, live up to what you have obtained.
Yeah.
Go on the offensive. To be a living and active.
Yep.
And I'm going to finish off with Joel chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Mm-hmm. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, mm-hmm. with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is a gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. Mm-hmm. God be the glory.
Ooh. Yeah.
Awesome.